I'm Omyo Horengekyo. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. I've been thinking, and I'm still looking through my library to decide on what a new series of talks might be about. If you're new here, welcome. First of all, thank you for checking us out. Our sangha continues to grow, and that's the benefit of having you liking and subscribing, right? Making this channel, this resource available to more people. That's propagation, that's bodhisattva work. So thank you. But if you're new here, please avail yourself to the tools of the website. This channel has easily 1,000 videos on it. I've done a lecture series on the Lotus Sutra, page by page. I've done the same for the Vimalakirti Sutra, the Perfection of Wisdom I've talked about at length, 3,000 Realms in a Single Thought Moment, a lot of Nichiren information. Of course, we're practicing Nichiren school, Shakyamuni's Lotus Sutra Buddhism, after all. So there are hundreds of videos on the Gosho, different sources of Gosho, just like the Lotus Sutra, different translations of the Lotus Sutra. So there's so much information on this website that if you come here, or this channel, if you come here and just browse what's recent, you're not likely to get a good idea of this resource and what it can do for your practice. The point is to make your practice solid and confident, yes? So please avail yourself of the playlists, the podcasts, and use that search on the homepage of this channel, that little magnifying glass icon in the middle of the page, not the top search, but that search in the page, and you can put in words like karma or, Myoho Rengekyo or Daimoku or whatever it is that you want. Or maybe there's a specific Gosho that you'd like to see what my talks are about that particular Gosho. Put in the title of the Gosho. It should go right to the result page, right? There's likely to be several videos on that one Gosho because I read through the whole Gosho and interject with clarifications and my own insights into each Gosho. So it's a vast resource. And I say that because sometimes I get email, why don't you talk more about Nichiren? And it kind of knocks me down because hundreds and hundreds of videos on this channel directly about Nichiren. And that just indicates to me that somebody's just landed on the page. And what I do from time to time, because we're Buddhists, because we're taught and trained to study broadly, like today, I would like to talk about Kumarajiva, which is a name that we hear about as we begin to practice, especially Nichiren school, but only as a tangential kind of, which Lotus Sutra translation are you reading? And this is based on Kumarajiva's, Kumarajiva translated many teachings that were at different times collected as the Lotus Sutra teachings. And it varied. Different chapters were included at different times, some not, some alternates, so on and so forth, until an accepted completeness, correctness was established, and from that Kumarajiva translation, many scholarly translations later become translated into, Chinese firstly, and then, not firstly, but in Kumarajiva's case, and then into different dialects and languages, and finally to English, French, Spanish, different translations, yes? So I thought it might be interesting. This is a BDK publication called Concentration of Sitting Meditation, and This deals with meditation as a practice. There's a lot of books out there in the world on meditation, each with their own agenda, some with yogic aims, some with not even Buddhist aims. There's meditations of all sorts. When I used to teach martial arts, I wrote a book called The Science of Mind. That was all about meditation, and even with guided meditations, and I think it's still available on the Lulu website. All of this is to say, meditation is one of those terms that's rather broad. It's a big umbrella term, and so even as Kumara Jiva was translated, this is one of his first scholarly translations into Chinese as a high-level Chinese translation. There was a thirst in China to learn more and more about these teachings from India, the Buddhist teachings, beginning obviously with the earliest teachings, the Hinayana teachings, the Agama Sutras, and so on and so forth. And all of them talk about samadhi, right, meditation. And so this, by no means is this book the end-all be-all on meditation. It is, though, an interesting purview of the different stages of development and understanding of what it is to calm the mind and reach different or varying states of mind, awareness, yeah? On the way to Myoho Renge Kyo, right? But this doesn't contain Myoho Renge Kyo. This isn't a book on the Lotus Sutra, although Kumara Jiva spent a great deal of time on that. But that's why I thought, you know, we don't know much about him. So just in the translator's introduction to this book, there's a nice little historicis of Kumara Jiva that might give you a little bit more sense of who this man was, and his place in the history of Buddhism, yeah? Now, see, I'll do a video like this, and this seems a little off-piste, yes, from Nichiren. But it really isn't. It supports all of our study, and if you just got here and this is the video you see to introduce you to this channel, you might get the wrong impression. So, our training in Buddhism is to study broadly. It helps us to have an anchoring of understanding for our own practice of Lotus Sutra Buddhism, right? So please, by all means, listen to, watch this video, but understand that this is just part of a much larger program. Also avail yourself, as is noted in the video as it starts, the threefoldlotus.com website, tremendous source of information. E-books available there, Lulu, the bookstore, if you want it in print, the mandala store, right? So, all right, enough introduction. Those of you who've been following our progress on this channel, I apologize for the diversion, but it has to be done. So thank you. Thank you all for your support and your practice. Now let's get into this. This is from Concentration of Sitting Meditation. The translator's introduction goes as follows. The Zhuchuan Sanmai Jing, the Sutra on the Concentration of Sitting Meditation, Taisho number 614, is a meditation manual compiled by Kumara Jiva based largely on Indian sources. Okay? Some portions of the text have corresponding Indian originals, as we shall see later, but there is no single text in any Indic language that corresponds to this manual in its entirety. Nor is there a known version in any other classical languages, including Tibetan. Kumara Jiva's Chinese version is the only full text of this manual available to us. So that's interesting. A lot's said in just that one little introductory paragraph, right? And this is exactly what I want to make sure you understand as we proceed. Kumarajiva's genius in his translations was not only that he had a facility with the languages, but it was his scholarship in his ability to assemble from varied sources information, authoritative information, although from varied sources and disparate agents or agendas, if you will, programs, and put them into one source for study. Not unlike the Lotus Sutra or any other sutra, they're collections of sermons delivered under the rubric of the same intent, same teaching. Right? When we talk about the Agama Sutras, we understand we're talking about many, many different teachings, but they're all under one rubric of a stage of practice. Yeah? If you've read or even looked at a print copy of the Avatamsaka Sutra, right? Sometimes called the Kigan Sutra or the Flower Garland Sutra, that first initial sermon of Shakyamuni. It's immense. I don't imagine a human could sit in one day and recite this entire sutra. It would have to be delivered in chunks, right? These are the facils. These are the, well, facils when it's translated into writing, but it was oral teaching, right? And those oral teachings are taught in chunks, each with a title. What we would call in the West, chapters. They're sermons, right? And their grouping into a sutra is like it's like going to school, right? You have certain books that you buy for a class. Each of those books has a role in that class being the subject and the area of that subject that you're focused on learning. And it may consist of several separate books entirely in order to comprise learning this particular teaching, right? So the sutra isn't just a book, right? 3,000 years ago, you didn't go to the bookstore and go, I'm going to study Buddhism, and here's the big book of Buddhism, which, making fun of myself a little bit there, because I do have a book on this channel called Big Book of Buddhism, which is perhaps not the best title for it, because it's really about Lotus Sutra practice and all of the things that we do that comprise, like the altar and so on and so forth, that comprise the totality of our practice. It's not the teachings of Shakyamuni, it's the school that we build for ourselves. So Big Book of Buddhism, it has a lot of history in it, but it's really about how we practice Nichiren's school of the Lotus Sutra. Anyway, I digress. So, all of that is to, again, explore who Kumarajiva is as a scholar and a figure in the history of Buddhist scholarship, yeah? The translator, Kumarajiva, somewhere born around the year 350 and lived till about 409. There's question marks on both dates because we're not exactly sure. But that's the time period, right? Common era. He was born in Kucha, an oasis city on the northern route of the Tarim Basin in present-day Sichuan Uyghur Autonomous Region in China. Now, the Uyghur people are quite persecuted in China today. Interesting, yeah? At that time, they were a thriving population in a section of China. They had their own autonomous government within what is today China, in the Tarim Basin. His father, Kumarajiva's father, was an Indian monk, and his mother, a Kuchian princess. At the age of 7, Kumarajiva became a novice monk. And when he was 9 years old, he went to Northwest India and studied traditional, or Hinayana, forms of Buddhism, the early teachings of Buddhism. On his way back to Kucha, he converted to Mahayana Buddhism as Kashgar, under the guidance of, at Kashgar, a location, under the guidance of Suryasoma, a Mahayanist monk from Yarkand, an oasis city on the north or the southern route of the Tarim Basin. In 384, Kumarajiva was captured at Kucha by the Chinese general Liu Gang, who conquered the city by order of Fu Jian, king of the former Qin dynasty. So even back then, there was a lot of China, the land-grabbing governance that it was, right? Qin China became, that's how China got named. What China to us, China. Oops, careful, that's a martial art. Fu Jian, however, was killed in 385 when Liu Yang was on his way home. Liu Yang reached Guizhang, a city in present-day Gansu province, in the same year and learned about the death of his king in the following year, 386. After that, Liu Yang became independent and established his own local kingdom. The boss is gone, I'll take over. The later Yang in the Gansu and Xinjiang areas, Kumarajiva was detained for 16 years in his kingdom. During this long period of detention, he seems to have learned Chinese. 16 years captured as a prisoner of war, as it were. I suppose it would behoove you to learn the language, yeah? When Yao Jing, 366 to 416, the ruler of the later Qin, conquered the later Liang in 401, Kumarajiva was invited to Chang'an, present-day Xi'an, the capital of the later Qin. There, under Yao Qing's patronage, Kumarajiva translated many important Mahayana sutras, such as the Lotus Sutra, the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra. Taisho, of course, has that library, number 262. And the Vimalakirti Sutra, which you've heard me speak on and reference many times. The Vimalakirti Rendesa Sutra, number 475. Into polished Chinese. Interesting, polished Chinese, like polished rice. I suppose polished here is an adjective used to demonstrate a finer product, right? These scriptures have been very popular and broadly influential among East Asian Buddhists to this day. He also translated several significant philosophical texts, most notably the Treatise on the Middle, which would be Nagarjuna's teachings, yes, and the Treatise on the Great Perfection of Wisdom, and a few Vinaya texts, though the original of the Treatise on the Great Perfection of Wisdom has been questioned. These texts also exerted significant influence over subsequent developments in East Asian Buddhism. So this is part of the transmission of Buddhism into northern China, yes? And later filtered down into southern China, which then went around the mountains, the Himalayans, into India and had its sources of Buddhism. Just there was a lot of thirst in China for this teaching from India. But we see part of that with Kumarajiva, yeah? Where are we time-wise? Oh, we're doing good. Before Kumarajiva, Buddhism had not yet been introduced to China in any systematic fashion. There were rumors and stories, but it wasn't this scholarly dissemination of authoritative information on Buddhism yet. So the Chinese people's grasp of Buddhism was in many ways limited. They sort of shoehorned it into what they already knew of Confucianism and Taoism, right? Kumarajiva introduced Mahayana thought systematically based on his profound knowledge of both traditional, or Hinayana, and Mahayana Buddhism. He thus significantly advanced the Chinese understanding of Buddhism. He is justifiably included among the four great translators of Buddhist texts into China, along with Paramartha, Xianzang, and Amoghavaksha. We should note here that the first text Kumarajiva translated was this sutra on the concentration of sitting meditation. This would be from the traditional early teachings, yes? According to the preface to this manual, the Guangzhongchu Changxingzhu, preface to the meditation manual translated in the Guangzhong area by Sengri, dates uncertain, Kumarajiva translated it only 6 days after his arrival at Chang'an upon the request of Sengri. This is after he was freed from his earlier bondage, yeah? Thus we can see the keen demand for a clear meditation manual in China. There was a lot of clamoring for, we want this clear scholarly information, not rumors, not, wishy-washy. We want a manual. We want, order. We like things that are comprehensive and have scholarship, have authority. We like that. On the whole, the Sutra on the Concentration of Sitting Meditation is a lucid and well-organized manual that describes the paths for becoming an arhat. So you see, it's very Hinayana. A solitary awakened one, a Pratyaka Buddha, or a Buddha, the respective goals of the three vehicles, right? But we know as Lotus Sutra practitioners, this is a prefatory, a provisional teaching toward what would ultimately be Myoho Rengekyo. But this is earlier. However, since the exposition of the path for becoming a solitary awakened one is very brief, the bulk of this manual consists of a discussion of the traditional and Mahayana methods of meditation practice. How to remember, everything provisional before the Lotus Sutra was about grasping how the mind works. So this was the state of meditation for decades, yeah? Just get a grip on how your mind and body are working together, how your mind perceives the world, the worlds, yes? The transgressions in your mind that you're not normally paying attention to. A little bit off. In the traditional portion, the manual first advises instructions of meditation to observe the inclinations of the practitioners. Exactly. Look at how your habits have formed. Look at that you have habits. Many people don't really realize that they do things out of habit energy. right? Recognize that some things you do without quote-unquote thinking are the result of previous decisions and choices made, tendencies that you have, and they manifest into colorations, adaptations of perceptions that, if otherwise perceived clearly without that influence, might result in a different decision or choice with contemporary information rather than simply following a pattern. I mean, that's a critical insight into how the mind works, yeah? So a lot of time is spent on observing that very process, taking it apart. Practitioners are classified into five different types. Those who are primarily inclined to lust or anger, manipulation and backstabbing, or ignorance, I just do what I do, something happens, I react, right? That's a person to whom life happens to, right? Or discursive thoughts as separate tendencies. And those who are troubled by a combination of these problems. Right? There are those who seem to live in a certain state of always looking for sex. When they can't even, you know, eat food without looking around and look for opportunities. Lust. We lust for food. Lust for things. Lust for people. Lust. Deep craving. What would we call that with what we know of Buddhism? The world of hunger. Insatiable. People are generally driven that way. Certain people. Other people are driven by competition. Having what he has, what she has. Oh, she has that? I'll make her look bad and I can get that. That's anger. Sounds very close to animality. But that's the point, isn't it? When we start to take apart the worlds, the realms that we're traveling through, they're all interpenetrating. They share. They're just tendencies are slightly different, right? All right. Then an appropriate remedy is prescribed for each type. For those who are inclined to lust, meditation on the impurities of the human body. Get to know the mechanisms of your body, and that starts to demystify your fascination. That's one way to reduce that inclination. For those who are inclined to anger, cultivation of friendliness, right? Yeah, you want to manipulate and get, usurp other people. Well, if you're meditating on how to be friendly, how do I admire somebody? I want to take their stuff. Well, there's these transitions in mind that we need to make that mollifies our unreasonable patterns. For those who are inclined to ignorance, I can't be bothered. I don't want to know. Observation of the 12 links of dependent origination. Right? The Nidana. Wow, that's fascinating how that works. Wow, I can't really ignore everything, right? Ignorance, ignoring. If you start to learn how everything forms, it's hard to ignore. For those who are inclined to discursive thoughts, mindful inhalation and exhalation. You got racing thoughts all the time. Your mind is all scattered. Now you're having to focus on the breath coming into the body and how it leaves the body. You become more conscious of the moment. Your mind gets less scattered. So this is important to understand, because you understand this is where all these branches of meditation get their source. And they become their own thing. But that's not the goal of these meditations. These are just the beginning of understanding how the mind works. But there's entire schools, even today, that they're still, that's their entire goal. They stay stuck there. It's an incomplete, it's helpful, but where does it lead? It is not the end goal, although some would teach that it is. And that's unfortunate. And to someone like Nietzsche, and they are obstacles in your enlightenment. They're stopping you cold. Oh, you know the alphabet? Okay, well, you don't need to know how to read or write. How far are you going to get? Right? For those who are troubled by several problems, calling the Buddha to mind. Maybe you're lustful and you have racing thoughts all over the place and you're in wanting to take and take, and you have trouble making friends, don't know what love is because you're too busy with everything else. Well, maybe the first thing we need to do is get you to understand that there's a higher state of being. And then maybe we can start to take it apart into, okay, now control this, now control that. So let's just have you invoke your Buddha nature, even though you have no idea what that is. Knowing that there's another way to be is perhaps the first step in getting to know your mind. Even though that would sound on the surface like the ultimate, it's really the most remedial. Because if you're all over the place, you're more like an animal than you are a human. You're just responding and running wild. So let's give you a little higher shelf of plane of existence from which you can then start to take apart the way your mind works. So I say all of this again to remind you that meditation, what we do and what I like to call our chanting meditation, is an active meditation. We are actively engaging with Buddha when we chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. These meditations are not on par with that. These meditations are teaching, self-teaching meditations on the very nature of how the mind works. It's a very different goal, commitment, all in service to the path to take us to self-enlightenment, right? All right. Where are we time-wise? All right, I'm going to stop there. I'll just finish this paragraph. By practicing these methods, practitioners attain single-mindedness, so they gain focus, and can proceed to the four stages of meditation and the four stages of formless concentration. Finally, they attain the five supernatural powers. And when in these translations, they like to use words like supernatural. And even if they are transliteration of the ancient languages, what we're talking about is the power of the mind, the transmigration of the way we experience life, yes? So, with all of that, I'm going to pause here. And I hope this is instructive. I hope that you appreciate, as I do, I suppose, understanding and learning about these ancillary aspects of our practice of Lotus Sutra Buddhism, because it brings, you know, it's nice to know that there's a solid foundation on which we are building our practice, our enlightenment, that we're not just, you know, fanciful practicing. This is not magical or mystical. This is very analytical, rational reasoning. And we are learning like we do when we practice anything, whether it's weightlifting or sports or photography or graphic arts or architecture, right? Or business. You have to inculcate, you have to learn certain basic concepts on which you can then logically build your knowledge, your experience, right? It's very hard to be dumped into a sphere of competition with others with no idea the terminologies, the way things work, banking, what you name it, all of the periphery. You're going to make huge errors and you're going to plummet and have to rebuild from scratch. Whereas if you learn the fundamentals, then when you approach accomplishing something in a sphere, whatever it be, you can rely and you can see things coming. You can see where you're lacking or where you might need a partner, so on and so forth, for your greatest success. And if there's one thing above all others that we're doing as Buddhists is to achieve success in the highest regard, enlightenment. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Helps us grow the Sangha. Those patrons who are, I just got a note from Lulu. A lot of you are buying books, whether it's the e-books or the print books, whichever. Deeply appreciate your support, right? Those of you Patreon, PayPal, you know who we are. You give me a boost of strength to keep this endeavor going, and you're helping propagate Buddhism. So tremendous gratitude and proud of your practice. Okay? Take care of your health. Please do that. Otherwise, everything else becomes tons more difficult. Take care of your health. Keep your practice strong. And I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.